Welcome to Pisces Rising.
I'm Ash.
And I'm Heather.
We want to talk about astrology with you.
Go deep or go home.
Hey everyone, welcome to Pisces Rising.
We are back with a guest. I'm Heather.
I'm Ash, and we are joined by our friend Michelle.
Hi.
Michelle is a long-term astrology buff thing.
That's nice. I've just been learning about it really since as like long as I can remember. My aunt got me a birthday card when I was 5, and it was just a Gemini birthday card with like a little agate stone in it, and I thought it was so cool. And my mom, who was very Catholic, was very irritated that I suddenly became super interested in this. But yeah, that's basically it.
That's what got you into it. Yeah. We got into it super young too. Got into it really young.
Yeah, when I was 9, I got a book for Christmas that was like sun signs and compatibility, and it was just very basic stuff, but that I was super hooked. I wanted to look up everybody in my class and find out their birthdays, and then I would bring it into school and read to them how they got along with their crush or whatever.
This is a perfect way to kick off too, because what we're talking about today is why we use astrology in our personal lives as opposed to giving professional readings. So that's a nice intro.
Yeah.
Mine was a book too. Kara, my best friend who I'm still friends with, gave me a book for my 15th birthday that I still have, and it's an astrology sexual compatibility book in like a Linda Goodman kind of way, but it wasn't Linda Goodman. Is Linda Goodman who does the love signs?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like that kind of book, like totally from the 80s.
Yeah. Did you find it helpful?
Oh, so helpful. Yeah. And I was like hooked, and I never stopped after that. And also in my house, because of being Catholic, astrology was a little bit easier because it came in a book as opposed to like reading the tarot cards, which I was not allowed to do.
Yeah. We were all raised Catholic, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And now here we are. That's funny, yeah. My mom was always open to that type of stuff. It was more my grandparents, maybe, who would be not super excited about it. But, yeah, I think there was definitely some weird connotations, like getting into astrology, like, oh, is this evil or whatever? Like, I don't know. I never felt that way, but just knowing people in the church felt that way. It made me feel like I was doing something kind of bad, which I liked.
Yeah. Same here. Well, if you're not interested in it, there must be some truth to it.
Mm-hmm. So how would you say that you all use astrology the most?
Well, I am trying to date. So I used to like be someone who's like, oh, I'm not, like, I believe in astrology, but I'm not going to, like, and I still don't, if this is too strong of a word, but I used to be like, well, I'm not going to judge people based on their signs. I'm still not, but, you know, if I'm dating and I'm trying to get to know someone and I've noticed that certain things just are a red flag for me personally, and someone has that, nothing against them. It's just, you know, I'm going to like really pay attention to that and maybe just keep my options more open than I normally would have. And then it's fine. And then I also use it at work too. Like, well, I was maybe 6 years ago, I was in an interview and I can't get a read on the woman interviewing me at all. She's just, like, stone-faced. And then I look down at her wrist, and I see the M for Virgo, and I was like, okay.
So, it all makes sense.
So then I'm just talking about, like, how organized I am and everything, and her face, like, lights up. And then, like, I got hired, and she's like, yeah, I have, like, 6 planets in Virgo. And I'm like, like, that's why I got the tattoo. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, makes sense.
That's hilarious. What are some of your dating red flags, zodiac wise?
Leo Mars.
Oh, I've got that.
I honestly feel like it's different on men.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like fire energy in men is like almost completely fucking insufferable. Like, because, how do I want to say it? Like, fire being kind of just a masculine energy, and like, and then it being men, and then it's like, it almost comes across as like hyper masculine, mm-hmm. but then like, because then we have like societal problems, and then they can't process their emotions. It's like they're almost then hyper masculine, but then hyper insecure.
Yeah, okay.
And like the Leo Mars in particular, I don't know. I saw something online like a couple months ago, maybe. I think it was a TikTok. And the person doing it was like, if you are dating a straight cis man, look to his Mars for how he treats women. And it's true. A Leo Mars, or like a Mars at 0 degrees. Like the last guy I was seeing, Aries Mars 0 degrees. On top of having a Sag rising. Like, it was just, yeah. Anyway.
Just super stereotypical, like, male behavior.
Very stereotypical, very, like, into, like, gym life, but like also very insecure about their like bodies too. Like they'll talk to you about it, and like they're probably extremely like physically gifted, like can probably deadlift like, I don't know, an insane amount or whatever, but then they're also like sad about it, and I'm like, I don't know what you want.
Like, yeah. Seems like you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, but it's just not enough for them.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because it's what you're talking about is very ego, which is also very fire.
Yeah.
The security and the insecurity. And I actually like fire sign men, even though I completely 100% agree with everything that you said. The reason why I feel liberated in my personal relationships with people who have a lot of fire is because I have some in my chart, and I also just know they don't care, and they're not thinking about me because they're so self-absorbed. So,
yeah.
Oh, that's wow, nice. That's so, you know, interesting, and it's true.
It's like you're not really being judged, but you do think you are, because people who can't handle fire because it's so extroverted is, especially a Mars in fire, it's going to be really, really intense. Specifically what you said about Mars, I like the kind of looking to see how a Mars male will treat women, because I never thought about that before, but think it's very, very true. The fire energy in general, because it's so reactive and appearingly emotional, because the reaction is big, but not truly emotional, appearingly emotional, because it's like a really fast metabolism when, you know, if you say to a fire sign, hey, I think, you know, you should probably slow down a little bit when you drive. Like, fuck you! I'm not slowing down when I drive! You know, it's like the instant reaction that you feel like they're emotional and touchy, but really they're just like metabolizing really quick, reacting, and then moving on. And I think that the only fire energy that might think, really worry about what you're thinking, is a Leo sun, even more so than a moon. But other than that, fire is just like react, process, move on. They're thinking about what they're doing, not what you're doing. And I find that really liberating, because when you hang out with earth signs, and my relationships with earth signs, at this point it doesn't happen because I have the comfort with them. And I just know them really well, and I know basically how to verbalize to them, so this doesn't happen. But the thing is, there's a while where you have to think about it. If with earth and water, you're like, okay, is this person going to be really touchy if I say this, or if I, like, you know, even with things like accidentally, like, using the wrong pronoun or something, or accidentally or intentionally saying something that's not politically correct, you usually have to think about those with water and earth. With fire and air, I think because it's a positive extroverted sign, you don't necessarily have to like backtrack, or you're seeing somebody's, like with water and earth, you see their face, you know when you've fucked up. or when you've made them uncomfortable. And that if the other person is not a fire sign, they're going to respond to that. Like a fire sign is just going to keep going and not care because they are not thinking about you.
Right. Or they might get mad at you, but then they're over it immediately.
Yeah.
And they're just going to express it and then move on. They don't really cling to any of that. Yeah, I would say, so as far as like how I use astrology in pretty much my everyday life, I track all my transits. I track like daily, I track my transits. I look at what's happening for me each day. Long-term transits, I try to, you know, if they're difficult, I try to figure out ways to kind of work with them and figure out what days they're kind of peaking. Like today is an exact Pluto opposite Mercury for me. It's been building for a while, and it's exact today.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know. I experienced a little road rage on my way over here when you were talking about fire signs, telling them to slow down. I was behind somebody who was going 20 miles an hour, and I was, like, screaming in my car.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what was happening. I was like, move the fuck over! Which I'm not, like, usually like that, but it just came alive, and I'm going to blame it on Pluto today.
And the Mercury so lovely articulated the move the fuck over.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like the Mercury in Cancer ground for a bit. And
I mean, I didn't, the windows were up. They didn't hear me, but in my car, it was free flowing.
Yeah, transits. I look at mine every day too. I look at the planets every day and I really track the moon because the moon is so effective on me in my chart that I'm always paying attention to where the moon is. And also, when you pay attention to the moon, it's fun to like go into a coffee shop or a public place and kind of sit back. Like if you know the moon is in Scorpio or is in Gemini and you're watching from the corner, like I always feel like I'm watching in a fish tank and it's like a fisheye lens. I'll sit in the corner and I'll be like, okay, moon's in here. Let's watch everybody's subconscious behavior. Yeah. That's really fun.
Oh, that's cool.
I want to do that. We should do that
sometime. Yeah, totally.
No, I never think to check transits nearly as much as I should. I can usually feel when the moon's like in Cancer or something. Because it honestly just feels like PMS.
It's there right now.
Yeah. It's like suddenly I'm like, oh man, like the baseboards are really dirty. Like I need to clean them or just like.
All the moon's in Virgo.
Yeah. Like, but no, I should watch them way more than I do. I'm just more like I meet someone and like, what time were you born?
Yeah.
Like you should find out.
Yeah, exactly. I do that as well. I needed to get all my coworkers' like birth info and put it in my phone and tell them some things about themselves. And then anytime like puzzling behavior happens, you look and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's all coming together now. And it's so interesting because, you know, like it's just very personal too. If you know your own chart really well, you can see how, okay, that Virgo coworker of mine gets along really well with the Capricorn coworker, but with me, you know, maybe we have like some slight difficulties, or she doesn't seem to get along with the Sagittarius coworker because that's a square, you know, like certain things like that. Like you can start to really like go into it, and it's pretty much never ending. If you decide you want to incorporate astrology into your life, there's always something to look at.
And it helps acceptance. That's my biggest thing with relationships. You know, like you were talking about with the dating, you know, it's like, okay, this is a red flag. I'm not going to judge you, but I accept that this is a behavior or a trait that I'm going to really struggle with. So let's not waste our time.
Yeah. No, I definitely like immediately unmatched someone who was coming on super strong for no reason and wanted me to read his chart. And then it was, again, a Leo Mars in the 12th house. It was just, like, immediately no, like...
Mars in the 12th house is rough.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a little challenging.
Yeah.
And Leo Mars in the 12th house, it's, like, kind of self-obsessed, but not even realizing that they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my sad Cancer Mars literally can't handle that.
No.
It's like the saddest thing in my chart.
Oh, that is a sad placement.
It's so sad. I have an Aries moon, so like I'll scream about it first, but then it's just just sad after.
Yeah.
So no. No.
You have Cancer Mars too, right?
Yeah, I have Cancer Mars too, yeah. And I have a Cancer moon, but I do have two Aries Cancer squares that are the worst.
Yeah.
That's what I call the aggressive nurturer.
Yeah, I was telling, it's like, I'm in the National Guard part-time. I was telling, like, my Army friends, I guess, because I'm just kind of, like, a strange person, I get to be in the Army, but...
I was pretty surprised when I found that out.
I tell them that I have, like, 2007 emo, but grandma energy, because, like, I do feel like I'm kind of, like... a mom energy, but like at the distance of a grandmother, so it's like I try not to be so smothering, but yeah, I forget why that related exactly.
Well, I was going somewhere with Mars. It's very it's very Cancerian.
I actually have thought about literally doing that aggressive nurture square as a podcast, specifically with when the square of Cancer and Aries happen, because Cancer lives in the past. Aries lives in the future. I know I could almost name it when somebody else has it now because it's such a pull. It's such a, oh, my Aries mouth just said this and now my Cancer or whatever is going to fucking suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
And it's just so back and forth with it. And then when other people have it, you can see it too because the Cancer is always going to ponder and you could see the like reactivity and then the sensitivity. And I have it to the exact degree.
Oh, God.
So it can be very, very intense.
Yeah.
Oh, you're having kind of like a return of that because today the sun's in Aries exactly squaring the moon in Cancer.
Yep. Yeah, that's so wild.
Yeah.
However, because of astrology and studying with it and living it so long, I've come to an acceptance and a balance of it, which if I didn't know astrology... you know, I would probably be diagnosed something in the mental illness world, you know, not like intensely, but knowing astrology has really helped me have acceptance with that, have the Cancer acceptance and the Aries acceptance. And that's one thing that both of those, that square particularly needs is some sort of acceptance because it's not a present moment square where if a square is fixed, it's going to be in the more present moment. Or more of like of a dwell or a sticky feeling that's the same as opposed to this energy of like pioneering ahead and then not moving and dwelling over whatever somebody said to you.
And then waking up at 3 a.m. thinking about like, why did I say that thing 3 years ago?
Yeah. Like a fixed square might do that too. But I think cardinal's movable by nature. Fixed is like... not movable. So those energies, instead of ping-ponging around, when you're carrying a fixed square, you're like really carrying it like a chip on your shoulder. But with the cardinal square, you're seeing it or you're not seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I do, that I've been doing, which I find really helpful for learning... is, I mean, I have so many people's charts in my phone at this point, my friends, my family. So I'm really good at guessing signs or being like, oh, like when I read cards, I'll be like, oh, I can see your moon sign. And like 9 times out of 10, I'm right, or physical appearance signs. At this point, I can guess aspects and transits if I know somebody really well. You know, whether they're going through like a Chiron return, I know that they're 50 or whatever, or they're just going through something. Like, there'll be somebody will come and sit down and be like, oh, you'll never believe what happened. I'm like, oh, you have a Mars transit or a Pluto transit, because it's just so, you just can just see it. Like, you can see the transit. You can see how it's going to affect them and how it's going to affect their mood, because transits are just as much going to affect the mood and their own weather pattern as their natal chart. So it's going to, when you see somebody's transits, you're going to see that the mood that they might be in or why they might be going through something or why they're changing. So lately for studying, the second biggest thing I do as opposed to studying famous people's charts, just because that's fun, is look at, like, I'll be like, oh, like the other day I was realizing something about my partner, and I'm like, he's a progressed Taurus moon and a natal Taurus moon right now. And sure enough, he totally was. I looked at his
Both Taurus?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's in progressed Taurus right now, and I could totally tell because he was like more sticky and stubborn than usual. I'm like, there's a lot of Taurus energy going on. He's got to be a progressed Taurus. And sure enough, for the past 3 months, he had been a progressed Taurus moon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that you realize that.
Yeah.
Maybe not awesome to live with.
And then it's awesome because the intensity of like, oh, it's me, just goes away. And that's why astrology, I think, is really good for personal life. Because then you're like, okay, no, it's not me. It really is you and all the fucking planets.
Yeah.
That are like fucking you right now or not fucking you.
Yeah. Hmm.
And how I like explaining that to, because like I was reading a couple astrology charts for like my army friends last weekend, and like most of them are like not believers. It's just nothing that they were raised with,
right?
So when they're just like, how do you know that? Like, how is that so accurate? Like, what even is this? Like, they keep calling it the astral plane. I'm like, it's not the astral plane.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Or they like point to the stars, like, can you read my chart? And I'm like, well, it's not there. Like, you know what time you're born? Let me start with that.
Give me a telescope. I'll get to work.
But I just, like, I explain it to people as, like, you know, the planets and the signs and the houses and everything. Like, you can think of it as, like, psychological archetypes. And, like, psychology uses, like, a lot of, like, Greek and Roman mythology to base, like, their... I mean, I'm not a psychologist, so, like, I'm probably fucking this up. But I feel like they, you know, like, even just the thing about, like, narcissism and Narcissus and everything. So... it can just help people who are otherwise not really interested or open to this sort of thing, like, understand it. It's, like, astrology is, like, a lens to help, like, understand what's happening through archetypes. It could be just as simple as that, or you can take it, like, you know, further, but that's just how I start explaining to people, like, well, planets are archetypes, you know.
They absolutely are. I mean, the planets are all named after, like, Roman gods, and they carry that sort of archetypal energy. It's interesting because I can't really explain, like, the how it works. I mean, yeah, like, planets are vibrations, and they're creating these harmonies by their placements and the aspects they're forming, but it's more just through observing it over time. Like, this is accurate. I can't, like, say that it's not. It's crazy. Like, I can predict when certain things are going to happen based upon observing these planets. So it's something.
Yeah. It's a lot of it, I think, and this is not a scientific explanation, but there's two things that I feel like really kind of incarnate in astrology is when you come out of the womb and you take your first breath, it's like you breathe in all the planets into all of your chakras, and that stamps in your little infant body is kind of how I picture it. And then the other thing that I think is, you know, these are cosmic energies and we are stardust, and we are vibrating to these cosmic energies. And at this point, it is very, very lost, especially for those of us who don't study. But the indigenous cultures and people have been using these archetypes and observing for way longer than even psychology. And anybody who, like, is a really good psychologist, guess what they use, you know?
Yeah.
Astrology. Yeah. It all has come from astrology, which has been observed way more. And even the vibrations of what happens when a new planet is discovered and how it aligns with some, like, okay, technology is coming in, or, you know, the Great Depression, you know, I think there was something with, like, Neptune being discovered with, like, the Great Depression and things like that. Like, I can't remember specifically what it was with Neptune, but Uranus and Neptune, there was definitely very specific things happening upon their discovery that represented the planet, or currently represents what the planet is like.
Yeah, Chiron was discovered in the 70s during, like, the big health boom, and, like, new age philosophies coming up, and, like, super,
nutrition-based ideologies were coming to, like, the forefront of culture, and that was when Chiron was discovered. So, yeah, there's definitely correlations between the archetypes of the planets and their discoveries, and I think that's where the meanings come from.
And the solar system was first.
Yeah.
The solar system was before humans ever existed. So where do we come from? The solar system, the cosmos. So the understanding of, like, why it works for me has always kind of been simple, but even that explanation, like, a lot of scientists out there are probably going to be like, fuck you, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
But to me, it makes sense because I see it. And also, when you've been studying for as long as we have, it, like, becomes more about the observance and the pattern. And when you're in relationship, which you are always in, not necessarily intimate relationship, but we always have relationships going, we always have dynamics going, you can always observe and study. And at this point, I barely use a book. I mean, and it's been years of, like, barely using a book because I take notes as opposed to using a book. It's like, I'm going to write my own. Oh, you know, this, you know, Venus is in Taurus is, like, have this kind of pattern. Like, you just start to see and know because the school is all around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you guys use books a lot?
Not anymore. I did when I was first starting.
And you don't either?
No, not really. I mean, I have a few, like, it's funny you mentioned Linda Goodman because I have her, like, birthdays book, where it's, like, each day of the year, it, like, has its own, like, sometimes I'll look up, like, specific people like that. Again, usually if I'm, like, trying to date them. But it's also just, like, fun to reference, but it's not, like, my go-to. It's more, like, if I remember, I'm like, right. Oh, yeah, like, I saw that the other day. I should go look that up. And then it's always fun to look yourself up and, like, roast yourself with it. Like,
yeah, it's kind of mean.
Oh, my God, it's so mean. Like, it told me that I was, what, like, nervous and, I think unstable, it
Wait,
said.
The book.
Yeah.
The book is mean.
The book is mean. Not looking things up.
Yeah.
No. Are you a May or a June Gemini?
May 30th.
Okay.
And it's true. Like, I am stable, but, like, I get what they mean.
Well, Gemini energy is restless, so there could be a nervousness to it.
100%. Like, I get what they mean, and I agree, but, you know.
It's still, like, you worded it maybe... Your Mars and Cancer could have taken a softer wording.
Seriously.
I know, my Mercury and Cancer is like, why'd you have to say it like that?
Yeah. God.
The other thing, too, is for nervousness with a Gemini, there's a comfort in that. So, like, I might perceive it as nervousness, or another person might be like, oh, that person is nervous. I actually perceive it as, like, you know, fluttery Gemini energy. That's what I call it. But I would imagine that those nerves are a way of the Gemini processing as opposed to being, like, nervous about something. So there's always, like, a high alert process thing, which becomes comfort and adaptability because that becomes the way that you process through your nerves. So it's not actually like you're walking around like a nervous wreck, like afraid to, like, go into any store or do anything or afraid to socialize. There is a comfort in that nervous energy. It's like bubbles or seltzer water. It's
that's
just like
so
goes
it's effervescent.
That's, like, also the kindest explanation of Gemini I've ever heard. Like,
Geminis really get the short end of the stick in astrology. Like, I think they're awesome.
Like, and I understand the frustration. Like, there was a period of time I didn't even like to tell people I was a Gemini. Like, I remember, like, asking, you know, telling you many years ago, I was like, I mean, I'm a Gemini, but I have Scorpio rising. And you're like, you say that, like it's an apology.
Yeah.
I was like, it kind of is.
It's not your fault that there's some terrible Geminis.
Gemini and Scorpio together, I love that combination. My favorite astrologer, Simon something from, or this astrologer that I really, really like, and I've just noticed a couple astrologers actually have an air and an intense earth combination, or an air and a Scorpio combination. And specifically, I really like the Gemini Scorpio because it's a deep feeling, but also detached energy. So you at least can, a lot of times straight up air is just going to like understand something on a mental level, but it takes away from the emotion. So then there's no patience for the emotional processing. When you have a Scorpio anything, you cannot fucking get away from the emotional processing. You are going to be hit with it because Scorpios need to feel things so deeply to be able to understand it, where the air needs to understand it from the mind, the Scorpio needs to understand it from the heart. So it's balanced, even though you don't think it's balanced, because it's like what quincunx, or just, it's just like, it's nothing, yeah, essentially an aspect. You don't think it's balanced, but it really, I think, brings a great balanced perspective because you have the intense emotion and then this like lightheartedness. So together, if cohesive together, it can work really well.
Yeah.
Especially for explanations and communication. This guy, this astrologer that I'm listening to, that I listen to sometimes, it's like amazing how deep he gets. He sounds like a scientist, like an emotional scientist.
Yeah, that's a good, emotional scientist is a really good term for Gemini Scorpio.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I like it.
And I also know a lot of Gemini Scorpios who are in relationship with each other, and a lot of people with Gemini and Scorpio in their chart, and it does work in this way of like, there's something about freedom in that. Of like kind of wanting freedom, but also wanting deep intimacy rather than just wanting freedom. You know, so you could do better in relationships, because if there's just too much Gemini, you know, it's going to be really hard to like land in that monogamy or land in that like partnership without getting bored. But the Scorpio gives it the staying power and allows the Gemini to sit there longer and look, because the Scorpio is going to have the patience to dissect, and Geminis love dissecting. Yeah. And Scorpios is always going to give more to dissect.
Yeah, no, that's actually very true. I dated a Scorpio for like 2 years, and yeah. And that most of my best friends are all Scorpios too. Like,
yeah, there's something that like attracts you to that energy.
Yeah. And they pretend like they like get so annoyed with Geminis, but it's like, you don't really, you just don't like someone like talking at you that much. But like, but if that were to go away, they would miss it.
Yeah. Like, is there Mercury in Gemini?
Taurus, but okay. It's 29 degrees.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay.
Ooh, I'll butcher that some other time. That's
like, I think we did an episode about 29 degree Mercury.
Yeah, have you heard
we
it?
We went through and butchered every 29 degree Mercury sign.
Is it that? It's retrograde, does that
help? Oh, yeah, that does help. Okay. That softens it a little bit. Yes. I think I even said that at the beginning. If your Mercury is 29 degrees and retrograde, this doesn't apply fully to you.
Okay, cool.
Sometimes we're in moods and we just need to, like, vent on this podcast. Yeah. And we will not.
That's what made me think that you would be a good guest. It's when you came over that last time and we sat up here and we just were going off. Like, you were going off astrology. You were making me laugh so hard. Because, like, you just had it down. And, you know, that was just like, oh my God, you need to kind of come over and we need to talk about this together. Because
yeah, this is
you
great.
Can let it fly.
Yeah,
but that 29 degree Taurus actually surprises me, because you can let it fly. I guess that Aries and that Gemini really is like, I need to say it or else I'm going to boil inside.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the Taurus probably allows you to say it in a more tactful way.
When I want to, which is most of the time. Like, yeah. I have to either just be like super angry. It's usually over a man.
Isn't it always?
Yeah. Then, oh, God, yeah.
I want to say something about the using astrology, and I've probably said this before, but in relationships, I actually find has almost made me so understanding and then resentful that understanding doesn't come back to me, because I'm you're doing this right now because of this, this, and this, and like, and also you're being transited up the ass with this. But why do you have to take that out on me? You know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Because I can I am pretty damn good at not doing that. Like, and sometimes it's just locking myself away when I'm not feeling it because I don't want to take my moods out on other people. Just because I think it's unfair and it's a violation. It like feels violating when that happens. And at this point, I can accept so much because I know somebody's chart and I have that clarity and I do know it's not me. So I'm like not necessarily resentful, literally, but I'm always like, why don't you give me the same freedom I'm giving you to be you? Because that's what it's all about. Yeah. Like you're maybe mad because my Cancer moon is doing this, but I understand that your Aries moon is doing that. And like, I'm not judging you for it.
Yeah. And then they want, like, they almost want more from you too. Like, oh, can you tell me if something else is going on? And it's like, can you do anything to try and learn about me? Like, yeah. And like, come on.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, that's good.
So annoying.
I know.
It's like, I feel like it's fair to say this about everyone. Like, we learn about astrology first to, like, analyze ourselves and, like, try to do better for ourselves. And then if you want to share that with people, like, that, it's, you know, it's a gift, kind of, you know, like you're sharing, but then it's, and I find this specifically with dudes and specifically with dating, like dudes are already, and I'm sorry, this is like a side tangent, but like dudes are always so willing to like make us like therapist mom girlfriends anyway, but then like you add an astrology thing onto it or like tarot or like, you know, like anything in this realm. And they're like, oh my God, that's so cool. And that's so accurate. And then it's just like, dude, just like go to therapy, read a book, like learn astrology on your own. Like, yeah. It's just, it's so annoying.
Yeah. Like you use it to help yourself, not to have me, you know, accept, because once you get in, like I've worked with so many of my aspects in the sense of not like neglecting them, but you know, I've like worked with the shadow side and gone into the shadow side and found so much comfort in that. And not always feeling like I need to change this little thing and that little thing about myself to become perfect. That I could kind of care less about, but just more of an understanding of the reflection that I have with Venus and like understanding that energy has become so helpful for acceptance within my own self. And it's like, the individual needs to do the work to find their own acceptance. Yeah. And in doing the work, it's like going in and sitting in your emotions or sitting in what you said or, you know, thinking about how something else might affect another person. It's really breaking down your thoughts and emotions and figuring out where they come from and then the higher aspects of those. And that's why they're the archetypes, because with astrology and with the planets, there has been that experience before. And on some level, that experience is in our cells, on our cellular level. So we remember it, whether it's this lifetime or another lifetime. There is the ability to evolve when you're super into astrology and to have things affect you less and to ascend, to like rise above into your higher self through it. And you know, have it being the girlfriend that holds your hand as they read, as you are helping somebody else's chart, is definitely annoying.
And then they'll just take their big three and then they'll put that on their Tinder profile. Yeah. And then that's like all that they've taken away from it. And it's just like, I will immediately block any guy that's like, oh yeah, I know. Like if they know their big three, it's like, how many women have tried to rehab you? Like, no, I'm not doing it.
Unless you can tell me, like, some of your favorite astrology books.
Yeah.
Getting into it.
No, thanks.
God. That's hilarious. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Thank you, Michelle, for being here. We'd love to have you back again sometime. That was great. Send us in topic requests. Let us know what you want to hear about. Give us a 5-star rating on the Apple Podcast app.
Yes, please do.
That helps more people to find us.
And we are being found more and more each week. Our count is like really soaring up. So thanks for all the listens.
Yeah, we love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Pisces Rising. You can find us on Instagram at Pisces Rising Podcast. Email us, PiscesRisingPodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook. Have a magical day.